It's said by quite a few people, historians, that it was the footwear of the Roman soldiers that won Rome her empire. And when you stop and look at the description of those sandals, you can understand why that could have been the case. The shoes or sandals of the Roman soldiers were no normal footwear. Great care was taken by Rome to supply the soldiers with appropriate footwear for their assignment. Their shoes consisted of an elaborately cut and laced sandal, of which the sole was layers of metal and layers of leather, with hobnail spikes extending 1/2 inch to, in some cases, inches from the sole to plant into the ground to keep them from being moved. You could say they were a forerunner of the present-day football boots, except the studs were nails, and they were 1/2 inch long. When the enemy came out in force against the army of Rome, they threw their bodies and all their might against these Roman soldiers to try to push them out of their country, the Roman soldiers would just stand shoulder to shoulder. They would put up their shields, they would dig the spikes of their boots firmly into the earth, and they were just about immovable. And then they would advance just one step after another. And so they built, country by country, the Roman Empire. And when they came into a country, they proclaimed that they brought with them the Pax Roma, the peace of Rome. And they explained that what that peace was, that they gave to those countries who they had conquered the freedom to go wherever they liked through the Roman Empire without fear of hostile forces, without fear of marauding gangs or bandits or hooligans. They could go where they want. They said, we bring peace, the peace of Rome. The only problem was there was a cost to that peace. It was the cost of freedom. For although they may have had freedom to go where they want, that's the only freedom they had left to them, basically, in their countries. Didn't have freedom to work out who they would worship anymore. Didn't have freedom of speech. They didn't have freedom to go where they liked. They didn't have freedom to say, we are our own people. But they had the peace of Rome. Now, getting back to these boots for a moment. For the Roman soldier, of course, these shoes with the spikes in them, they were their combat boots. They would not have worn them when they were relaxing in the barracks, when they were chatting or playing table tennis, whatever they did then. But they knew that they had to keep their boots close to them at all time and available. And they know what? They could put those boots on at a moment's notice and be ready to make a stand for their emperor or to advance into a new territory if needed. They were also used to wearing them. They knew what it was like to wear them and knew how to use them to the best advantage. Therefore, they were always prepared to maintain the peace of Rome. Now, when Paul in Ephesians equates the soldier's footwear to the shoes that are part of the armour of God, he also links it, did you notice? With peace. Did you notice that? But it's a peace that gives freedom, doesn't take it away, and gives hope. It's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:15, our text for today, says this: and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I'm sure already it's becoming obvious to you, as it became very obvious to me, why Paul made use of the soldier's footwear to emphasize the believer's responsibility to spread the gospel. It's quite obvious, isn't it, when you stop and think about it? The Roman soldier's boots were critical for the extension of the Roman Empire. For you know, without the proper boots on, boots that enabled them to move, but also to stand firm. Without those boots on, then the armour that they had, which was very impressive, was actually really quite cosmetic. Stop and think about it. What use being clothed with all this great heavy armour to protect you if your feet were slipping and sliding around in the mud and you're stubbing your toes and having your feet trod on because you forgot to put your boots on? Wouldn't make sense, would it? In like manner, the shoes which are clothed, which are shod or feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shoes of the Christian, that little part of the armour, but it's the shoes more than any other part of the armour, when you stop and think about it, that are about being effective in spreading the gospel. In practical terms, you know, the shoes are more about advancing than probably anything else in the whole armour. It's true that we need to put on the belt of truth. We need to have the knowledge of our faith. We need to learn the word of God. We need to live out that truth in our lives. And it's true that we've got to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's so important. But unless our feet are shod with the readiness to proclaim the gospel of peace, then we tend to be wearing the armour without going out on the battlefield. And what use really is that? Look again with me, Ephesians 6:15. Let's consider the main points that Paul makes about the shoes that are part of the armour we need to put on. This is from the New King James Version. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The having shod means to bind on. It's reference to the fact that these Roman soldiers had these long leather thongs attached, so that when you put these sandals on, you could bind them tightly around your feet, around your calves, so they just wouldn't come off. That's very important. But the really important word here is preparation. It's translated in the NIV, readiness means the same thing. We need to be prepared at all times to share this good news of peace with others. Of course, the Apostle Peter says the same thing, doesn't he? In 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I particularly like the way the Contemporary English Version puts it. Honour Christ. Let him be the Lord of your life. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope. Now, what John shared with us this morning, now how he talked about the things he carries, the little Gospel of John, the little book about the Roman road, and especially that little laminated card he keeps in his wallet. Well, we're going to work on getting those available, aren't we, John? So for a couple of dollars, we're going to make sure you can get them so you can have one of those little cards. All that does is reminds John of what he wants to share about the gospel, about the message of salvation. That's being prepared. It's not just that you know it, but you also have that as a backup. So that's good. That's some of the things we need to do and need to be aware of. That's what preparation means here. But being prepared, though, and this is important, doesn't mean waiting till you're absolutely sure you've got everything right before you talk to someone. Doesn't mean you wait until you know that you've got all the scriptures. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm the type of person who thinks before I think to someone, now what questions will they ask? Will I be able to answer those questions? Or will I be embarrassed by the fact I don't know?
Being prepared doesn't mean that you know all the answers before you start. Being prepared doesn't sometimes mean that you know any of the answers before you start. Because you see, what John mentioned, and I just confirm it here, is that we go out in the power of God, not in our own strength. And we need to trust him to give us the words to say, which is what he's promised us. And also something else God does. He teaches us on the job. You know, we don't have to wait till we get the degree before we go out and share about Jesus. Because that's not the way it works. It's more like an apprenticeship. We're apprentices. And we're learning on the job. Before I left on our recent holiday, I knew that I wanted to do a fair amount of walking when I was away. So I bought myself a new pair of shoes. I decided I wanted a pair of shoes that was comfortable, that was light, and made it easier to take with me. And that was strong. So I got these pair of shoes and I was all set. It wasn't long after I was away and one of my first walks, I realised that these shoes didn't actually have the grip that I would have liked. And they were a little bit slippery in places where I was climbing up hills and downs, etc. The next thing I noticed that I seemed to be walking a lot more than what I thought I would. And because they were so light, by the time we got to England, the shoes had actually worn holes in the soles. So every morning, before I trod the streets of London, I had to pack cardboard in them. And at night, remove the wet cardboard and put some new cardboard in. Now, you could say that I wasn't perhaps as prepared as I should have been, and that may have been right. But I tell you this, those shoes did a great job. I enjoyed them very much. And I learned an awful lot about shoes for next time. It's the same with sharing with others the good news about Jesus. We won't always feel that we got it right. And there will be times when we won't. But you know, that's not the point. With the Spirit's help, you will achieve what he wants you to achieve. You will do what he wants you to do. And you will gain from it knowledge that will help you next time. You ask John about that, and Leonie and Jan, they will tell you. The other main point from this verse, or from the verse, is that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Did you notice that? The gospel of peace. That word gospel became a technical term in the church. We talk about the gospels, don't we? Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We were talking about that in devotion with the youth on Friday night about these gospels. We also talked about the gospel as the actual message of salvation itself. And both terms are very correct. But never forget that the word gospel in the first century was an everyday word. It meant good or joyous news. So a person would share with their friends good news. They would share with their friends the gospel about their coming marriage, or the gospel about the child that's just been born, or the gospel or good news about the job they've just got. In fact, anything that really excited you, that you wanted to share with others, was the good news or the gospel. But Paul refers here, and this we must see, to the good news or the gospel. Because this good news we're talking about here stands apart from any other news. You know what? It's the best news you could ever hear. It's the best good news that you could ever share with anyone in the whole world. It's the good news of peace. Not the Pax Roma of the Roman Empire that was built on violence and would soon fade away, but the peace that Christ gives. The peace between a man and God, or a woman and God. The peace that Leonie spoke about, that she hoped that the poor lady had depression would find. It's the peace that changes our lives. the peace that changes our situations forever. This is the peace. And this is the good news of peace that Jesus referred to in the synagogue at Nazareth early in his ministry. He quoted from the book of Isaiah, and he said those words we had in our reading from Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. The good news includes the message of salvation. But the gospel of peace also includes words and acts of kindness and compassion that show the love of God to those who are poor, not just physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. To those who are prisoners, you can be a prisoner without being behind bars. To those who are blind, who think they can see. You see, this good news that we have to share involves each of us being ready to be channels of peace, as well as the mouthpiece for the gospel to others. In fact, you know, it's not audacious to take these words that Jesus spoke and apply them to ourselves as his servants. The contemporary English version of Luke 4, I think, puts it very well. And I think these are words that's worth all of us reading. To read, as it were, from the first person. In fact, let's do that. Let's read it together. The Lord's Spirit has come to me because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers, and to say, this is the year the Lord has chosen. When you said that, did you notice the me? So we can see what putting on this footwear means for us as Christians. See how important it is, can't you? And why we must do so. Yet many of us will still hesitate to put on the footwear. Why is that? Part of us, isn't it? And perhaps it may be that despite what's been said, we still feel inadequate. Or perhaps that compared to others, we will never share the gospel of peace well enough. You know, we need to overcome that, don't we? And I think to overcome that, we need first to promote in our hearts the desire to share what we can with others and know that it's not us who does it, but it's God who does it through us. The desire to help others avoid that judgment which is to come. I think we're all clear on that. And to do so by the strength and power of the Spirit of God. The contemporary version translates Ephesians this way: your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Don't you like that? Your desire. But as well as encouraging that desire, we need to remind ourselves that sharing this good news is something that we are each to do in our own way, according to the gifts that God's given us, according to the personality which is ours, according to the opportunity which is before us. We must do so according to who we are, which is quite different to the way that others will do so. We don't have to do it the same as John, or Leonie, or Jan, or Keith, or anyone else. We do it as we are. Where God's put us, with the opportunity he's set in front of us. I was listening to a lady on the radio, and she was talking about her childhood. I just happened to be listening. I have the radio on, and I go from one place to another, and I just pick up this kind of rather interrupted segment of radio. But I was listening to this story, and she was talking about her childhood, how when she was growing up, she had learning difficulties. And consequently, she found it was very hard, and she was ostracized because of that. And she was picked on very much in the classroom by the students, but also by the teacher. Which is sad, but it does happen, doesn't it? But when she was 10, she was randomly selected with a group of kids to go in a competition. Competition was set up by one of the big department stores. And the whole idea was these kids got together in a room, and then they were each separately given a little pile of Lego. And they were asked to make something out of it, whatever they wanted. And she said she was watching the other kids. And they all, just like all of them, began to make these beautiful little houses out of the Lego. And she thought to herself, I really want to make a house. But something in her, she wasn't able to do it. She knew she couldn't do it. She knew she couldn't be like them. And so, in despair, really, more than anything else, she just made what she could make. And she made a little man out of Lego and an army tank. And she won. And then those little models they had made, the winners, were then put into the national competition. And she won that too, because it was different. Everybody else made houses. And she said, at the age of 10, her thinking was changed completely. She had so wanted to be like everyone else, but in fact, she said, she won by being different. She won by being herself. And it was acceptable. You know, when as believers we go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, desirous to share the gospel of truth, we do it our way. We do it as we are, guided by God. And we win for Jesus. Whatever results we may see for our words or our actions, you know what? We win by being ourselves as God has made us and ordained us and created us and gifted us and sends us forth and enables us. We win by being ourselves and acting or speaking according to whom we are. For that is what God wants from us.